We were just doing it fine. The first time, it turned out to be what it should have been. The second time, we didn't know what it should
Do you have a diagram, or do you want me to do a diagram?
I have one. One third first time through, then hit the diode and went to something else. Then it hit the other side and it wasn't what...
Yeah, gamma wasn't what we thought it should be.
Okay, so this slope is 1 over z0 here.
Right.
Is that slope, this is minus 1 over z0 with that slope?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it comes down there, then it's going to go with 1 over z0 again, hit that line, and then basically you're there, right?
It hit the diode, and we got that much. But when it went to hit back, it should have been
our gamma load, or source.
Source times...
Right, but what was gamma?
One third.
How'd you get that?
With the formula that we...
Yeah.
But how can you put an RL in there? What's RL?
Well, there is no RL with gamma source.
Gamma source.
We didn't do the gamma load. We just used
gamma source.
Oh, so it's just the bounce off the source wasn't...
Yeah, it wasn't what
the
we
bounce off the source is one third. So we thought
the solution where the line hit was...
Yeah.
Different than
if we continue to set the lines equal to each other and solve for our V and I, by the time we get to the third bounce, it's not what we expect because we expect it to be the second bounce times the second V times one third because that's our gamma source, but it's not.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what you took the reflected thing, you multiplied by gamma source, and it's not what goes back.
It's not one third of what was coming.
It's not what we get when we had the line going.
When we get the line intersection.
So the first one's one third VS.
Yeah.
The other one is the other time it hits it. And then we expect to be that.
Let me plug in my computer here, and we'll look at the. I think what you want to do is you want to look carefully at the one with resistors on both ends, and compare with what you're doing there with what you're doing here. So let's do that. Yeah, we could do that. Or I always thought it would be faster if we just grabbed the one we already did, right? I don't know whether that's really true or not, but. But we did that, right? But I don't know that the one we did had the same source impedance.
Yeah,
The homework was the same as.
Yeah.
What the one we did in class was. Maybe not the same, huh?
But.
Well, okay. So let's ignore that then. Well, let's just do it. Okay, so let's do it with. What was your source impedance?
100 ohms.
Okay, and your z0?
50 ohms.
Okay, and I'm just going to put an RL on here, and we could kind of. Okay, so let's do it over here. Well, we could do it with the diode. Okay, so this is V, this is I, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a source line. It's going to come down like this with a slope of minus 1 over 100. Okay. So this would be 1 volt. This would be, 100 milliamps. This is 1 amp, and this is 100 volts. Something like that. Is that right? 1 over 100. Yeah. Okay. So something like
VS.
Except our VS was what? This is
5.
This is 5. So this is. Basically 5, and this guy is what? What's
5 over 100.
short circuit current, so 5/100. Okay. So then your diode, where did your diode come up? It hits where? Maybe you should draw it. I mean, so that I get the same the same kind of picture, right?
Yeah.
And you want to just draw it like this?
Yeah, we just kind of did. We didn't have any super accurate.
Right, yeah, okay, that's okay. So we just draw it, but I need to have something similar because if mine is too high or too low, then, right?
Oh, aggressive.
It'll do a different thing depending on whether it's up or down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, which way, this is one, -1/100, right here, and Z0 is 50, right? So the slope I'm going to need is -1/50, right, or +1/50, which will be half the slope of this thing, right? I mean, it would be, if I did it negative, it would be kind of like this, right? So this is going to be half, so I'm going to say it kind of goes like you had it here, about like to there, okay? That's the source line, right?
Okay.
I mean, the first bounce, or the first out.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this thing is going to be, that right there is just going down. We can't do that with the equation because that's on the load, right? Okay. Then, this little thing right here, which is that little distance, is V minus, right? This little distance right here, this is V1 minus, right? Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that V1 minus is going to go back, and it's going to, if I go back at 50, I need to multiply that. You said this gamma was 1/3, is that right? Gamma source equals 1/3, okay? Okay, so let's see here. So are we getting...
We did our just by writing equations for each one and then finding where the two lines intersected.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so what I'm doing is I'm just making this 1/50th, right? Wait a minute, 1/50th versus 1/100th. Which one is bigger? 1/50th is bigger, right?
Yeah.
I do the wrong thing.
Yeah, we needed about a third.
So, I guess I could try again here. It really needs to go up.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to go up like this, okay? Okay. So now it goes down like this, okay?
So I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the difference between the points. That's V minus, right?
Yeah. This is V1 plus right here.
So the V1 minus.
V1 plus, right?
From that point,
and this goes down, you know, at one, this is 1/50th, right?
So
and this one right here is slope of -1/50th. So... So this here is V1 minus coming back right here is kind of like this.
This
is
the same thing.
V1 minus, right?
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, so then I'm right here, right?
Then
this is going to go up like this.
Yeah. Is the current also just
one? Let's see. The current is the same way. This is
I1 plus,
and then I1 minus is the difference between here.
So it'll be negative.
Right? And, okay, so then, let's see. So I went down here at a slope, and then I went up here at the, this is +1/Z0, it's supposed to be parallel to that. And so this thing right here would be V2 plus, and it's about 1/3 of that. I don't know. Did you figure out what was messed up?
Yeah. Yeah, we did only like the point where it hit, and that was our
yeah.
B minus.
Oh,
okay.
It's the difference,
really,
right?
And that's why the first one went down, because it was zero.
Yeah, okay, I see. Yeah, because this thing is the other thing coming back, and that goes the other way. And you finally end up at right here at this point right here, right? And you know, if you kept going with your thing to the limit, you would say, oh, we're never going to hit that, right? Well, I guess you figured out
so
there was a problem even before that. Yeah, right. The steady state solution is not one of the pluses or minuses,
yeah,
it's the sum of all of them. Okay, so do you want to go down to the lab? Let's go down and we can play down there.
Yeah.
I just took a second to turn this off. Well, I don't know. We'll probably be back. I'll just leave it for now. Yeah, probably a good idea. Those bulbs are expensive. Okay. Okay, I set this one up over here, and we all want to gather around over here. I probably have to wake this computer up. Yeah, it's sleeping. So. Actually, the computer we're using, you need to know that. That's these little ones up on top, okay? And you might have to, you might have to change the VGA cable or something. I'm just going to kind of leave this one set up because I don't know that anybody's using the bottom computer there, really. So then what it says student account here, and the password, you need to know where the password is. It's this over here. It says analog 313 on the back.
Okay.
See that?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know where the password is, so you can remember that. It's analog 313. That's what this lab is. So we just you got to type in analog 313. And you hit enter, and you're logging into the network, right? Or actually, I don't even know if this thing is plugged into the network. I don't think it is. XP end of support. Okay, so what? Okay, then you got to start the analyzer program. It's this one right here. You can go down here, and it's also on the menu down here. It's this thing. And you guys know better how to run this than I do because it's Windows, right? I don't even know whether you double-click or what you do to get it
you
to go.
You just click once.
Wait. Yeah, this is not a fast computer. Okay, so, this is the software. This little gadget right here is the unit. And basically, I think you could build the stuff inside here for about $100 or something. Okay,
nice.
Not terribly expensive. There are two ports here. There's the RX in. This is the receiver port. The one I was talking about just had the 50 ohms input, right? And then there's this TX port, which is the other side, right? Transmitter with a 50 ohm source. Okay, so that's what you got here. And these cables here are just coming out because we don't use SMA connectors very much in the lab. So we got BNCs. We use them more often. So this is coming out. Okay. Now, we have here three carefully home-brewed loads. Okay. This one is short, right? Makes sense. Right. This one is four 200 ohms resistors in parallel, nicely spaced out, so to make it just as perfectly symmetrical as I can. And this one is open, yes. we just kind of put it on the sander. But the idea is the reference plane here is very important, and it should be identical with
how
all of these,
guys
right?
Do that?
Well, actually, not too hard.
What
Let
is
me,
that back thing that you guys put on it? Or did it come like that?
Yeah, I can show you. Come here. Because this is, well, you might want to make one of these someday. Okay, so here we have all my connectors and stuff, and they started out like this. They're just what they call a panel mount male BNC, right? Okay, so I've got a bag of them here.
That's cool.
So actually, you know, I probably should make some more because I've lost some of those. I looked all over the lab yesterday trying to get together. There's actually one analyzer I can't find. There should be four of them, but I don't know where the other one is. Yeah, there's one there, there's one, well, there's three of them I found, but there should be a fourth one somewhere.
Wow, that must be.
Oh, that, well, maybe that's, yeah, one, two, three. I don't know where.
So this outside
I think
is
there's
the
still
ground.
Another one that's missing somewhere, but I may have missed
yeah,
it. So here's what we have to do. First of all, I want to make a reflection measurement, okay? And so the first thing you need to do is you need to set up your frequency range that you want to, operate this thing over. This one will go up to 1.3 gigahertz. You can see that right here.
Okay.
1 kilohertz to 1.3 gigahertz. So you go over here to measure, and then there's this calibrate thing. If those guys are grayed out, it may be because you're doing a continuous sweep right here. And right now it's kind of an open circuit. You can see right there, there's the whole sweep. It's going, well, we'll find out what frequencies it's going over, but 1 megahertz to 60 megahertz, it
and
looks like.
And you do this... You use these also for your antenna?
Well, these are the calibration. These are for calibrating. Remember, we were talking yesterday.
Yeah, but like,
there's this
for your antenna.
Yeah, I would take these up and stick them in my pocket, and I plug them into the top, right? Except my antenna has a different kind of connector on it, so I'd probably make it, different ones. I haven't actually done that measurement, up my tower and whatever, but. I wanted to. Anyway, for reflections, are we going to use, which port are we going to use for measuring the reflection coefficient? Gamma, S11.
The transmission one, right?
Yeah, right here, right? Transmission. So.
Transmission.
So what you first do is you decide what frequency range you want to measure over. And, of course, that depends on what you're trying to measure, what's going on here. This guy is actually using a really clever, very clever idea on the signal processing. It's using direct digital synthesizer chips, which are actually basically D to A converters that put out, little sine waves. And when you do that, remember there's these aliases, right? And, of course, those aliases, they go down as a sync function, kind of, right? But they are, you get the if you put a sign in, you'll have, two things here, and then you'll have two more up here, and it keeps going, right? So this guy is actually using those aliases to get up to 1.3 gigahertz, even though the DDS on this thing only goes to 60 megahertz, okay? So very clever signal processing. A guy in Germany came up with that idea. And it makes it so you make a very cheap analyzer that goes to a very high frequency. So we have to first decide I got to turn off this thing. I was just going to show you. You can't grade out here. If you can't calibrate here, it's probably because you're sweeping right here, which we're sweeping right now, right? So I turn that off. Then you go over here, and it says calibrate. And right now it is calibrated. You could see it was right on the short circuit there. But I'll show you. You basically you plug this thing into a short. Here's a short. So plug it in. Well, first of all, you got to decide what frequency range. I don't know why I went to calibrate. Let's change the thing to frequency range. We got to figure out what the sweep is. Settings, frequency range, and you just click on that. If you want a linear sweep or a log sweep or whatever. And so if I go to stop, let's go up a little higher than this. Let's go 100 megahertz. That's not really very high, but you know, you'll see some interesting things even at 100 megahertz. So we'll say okay. So now we're going to 100 megahertz. It should say 100 over here. Okay. So and then let's now since we went to a new frequency range, we have to recalibrate. Now they're all red, right? Because it was uncalibrated. Last night I was doing to 60. So we find the short circuit. This guy, you put it on there. You can do these in any order you want. Doesn't matter. So you just click on this guy, hit OK, and it sweeps. Okay, and that says OK. Great. Notice it went the short circuit. It measured it up here.
Outside.
Outside. Now, what does outside the Smith chart mean? Well, it's in some ways, actually, what it means is it thinks, according to it, there's actually a generator here that's sending more back than it received, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what it measured, you know. So this calibration method is really, you know, quite nice. It will fix even problems like that, right? You know, it thinks, man, I'm getting back more than I put out, right?
It
I'm sure it probably is the way it's measuring. You know, I mean, it's there's something in the circuit there that's causing it to appear that way to the analyzer. Probably that the thing actually going out is getting attenuated, not that something's coming back.
Okay.
That wasn't, you know, it's not putting out as much as it thought it was. Okay, so then we go to open. Is that the open?
Yeah.
Okay. And we hit return. So you got
outside again.
Yeah,
outside again, and it should be over here. Notice it's on the opposite side, right?
Yeah.
Because it's in the open circuit.
Yeah, right. Open circuit would. But open circuit actually should be over here, right? Should be right there.
Right there.
Right? Shouldn't it? Why was that? Why was that over here instead of over here?
I want to say just because it's opposite to where the other one is.
Well, it's maybe partly because of this transmission line here, right? And it may be because of the circuitry. Any linear circuitry that's inside there will be calibrated out this way. Even if there's a mistake inside the analyzer, you can still make it work. So that's pretty cool. So, and then we'll do this one. And that's the load. We hit that. Okay, so now it says we've got a reflection calibration. We haven't done the through calibration yet.
What's that?
Well, that would be if we're trying to measure the transfer function going through to here, right? We haven't calibrated any of that stuff out, and you can calibrate that out in a similar kind of a way. And we'll do that in a minute. But right now, let's just do reflection measurements because, you know, those are interesting. So we'll get rid of this calibrate window here. And now, what should happen? Notice there's where it was, right there. That's pretty close to right. You know.
Should we measure them again and see what they look like?
Now? Yeah, that's right. So let's see what happens, because now it's calibrated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I put it in. There it is, right there. Boom, it fixed it right to the middle, exactly right. Mm-hmm. Right. And if I put on the now it's over there. This isn't quite open circuit, because, I mean, it is open circuit, but it's a little bit, it says it's inductive. What it says is you subtracted some coax cable there.
Oh.
It's like negative coax cable. What do you do when you go in the direction of the generator? Which way is that?
That way.
That's the other way, isn't it? Clockwise.
Is that the load?
So it's e to the minus j 2 beta z.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going towards the generator, you're actually going negative in z. So that would be
positive.
Yeah, so it seems like that's this way. So we moved back towards the generator a little bit, right? Does that make sense? Okay. So now let's put on the real open circuit. Look at that.
It's right on.
Right on. And this is a sweep in frequency, right? It's going 1 to 100, and it says for the whole sweep, that's an open circuit, right? Yeah, it's 100 megahertz. You can actually see it. It's a little bit of a, you know, it's a different amount at different frequencies, right? Because the wavelength is different at different frequencies, so it's moving the right amount of wavelengths, you know. And here, of course, is the short circuit. Short circuit should be 0 ohms. Yeah, right there, right? Okay, so that's that. Okay, now. Okay, you want to try a transmission line? We'll just, let's see, it's this one, I guess. Here's a 50-ohm line right here. Well, I don't know, I haven't got this, but notice what happens is, okay, so when it starts out right here, is this low frequency or is that low frequency? So at low frequency, what should this look like? No, it's an open. This is a, right? Mm-hmm. Right, it's just open. Open. That would be right here, right?
So
there it is, right there, right? Actually, it starts a little bit down. Why does it start a little bit down?
Because
we started at 1 megahertz or something, right? At 1 megahertz, this thing isn't exactly zero length, right? Zero wavelengths. It's some amount of wavelengths, and it's that much going down this way, that from there to there, right?
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Right? Okay, so that's this much transmission line moves you down that far on the Smith chart to start out at 1 megahertz. But at 100 megahertz, it moves you all the way over to here.
And it gets...
Now, notice it's spiraling in.
Yeah.
What does that indicate?
Loss.
Yes, loss. So this guy at 100 megahertz has some loss, right?
So it's not a loss.
And actually, you can tell how much loss per length here by looking how far in it is. Okay, and if you look at your Smith chart, it's not on this one, but the ones you guys have, there's a little scale at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you attenuation in dB right there.
Cool.
So one use of this kind of thing is I had this problem, I don't know, this is probably 20 years ago now. My antenna wasn't working as well as I thought it should. And... I'm a cheap guy, so I try to reuse anything I can. So I was using some pretty old coaxial cable. Actually, coaxial cable, I think, that I had used as a teenager back in Alaska. And, of course, been out in Alaska weather for a while and then, in storage for a while. And then I put it up on my tower or whatever. And that coaxial cable, I kind of got the idea. I was looking at the reflection down at my ham shack, measuring the forward and the reverse, wave. And the reflection looked beautiful. Generally, when there's a problem with your antenna, it changes the impedance of the antenna, so the reflection is actually much bigger, right? So if you just kind of monitor those reflections coming back, you can tell whether, the wind has broken your antenna or something, right? And so that's normally what happened. But in this case, my antenna didn't seem to be working very well, but I was getting really no reflections back, so it seemed like the antenna was okay. So finally, I climbed up the tower, and I disconnected the coaxial cable from the antenna, and I was measuring like this. And I went back down to the, to my ham shack, and I turned on the transmitter and measured the reflections coming back, and the reflections coming back were almost none. So what had happened was that old coaxial cable had, somehow got some water in it or something, and it was becoming very lossy. So whatever I sent out was just getting absorbed and never coming back. And, of course, it wasn't making it to the antenna very well either, right? I mean, I'd put out 100 watts, and I'd probably get 1 or 2 into the antenna or something, right?
So what kind of coaxial cable do you use this or the same one you use for, cable TV?
I use 50-ohm coax usually. But I could use 75-ohm coax. I mean, you're free to use whatever you want. Most, transmitters are set up to have a 50-ohm output impedance if it's one of these ones with kind of a fixed output impedance. But the older transmitters and amplifiers, they're actually a tube-type amplifier. If you have a tube-type amplifier, they have an adjustable LC network that you can change the impedance with. So you can use 75-ohm coaxial cable if you like. So whatever you find that's cheap, if you get some good cable TV cable, they have some really nice low-loss stuff. And often they use so much of it that they'll often throw it away, And it's still good. This piece, we don't need this piece. It's only 150 feet long. We need 1,000 feet or something, right? So they just chuck it. And so often you can get that kind of stuff for a low, low money. But I have some of this stuff. I got some of this stuff the same way we got a pile over there. You know, they used to use this for networking. You know, that's what they run between computers.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. I mean, I've got some. Here, there's one right over here. Look at this. Maybe you've never seen one of these, but this thing. Oh, no, this is actually a new one. They have ones like this that have a, you know, a coaxial, a BNC connector on them. I thought that was one. But no, that's one of the newer ones. It has a 10-base T connector on it. But actually, you know, they went into, see this thing right here? I mean, they used to use this. And then this was what they call a transceiver, an adapter
so
from
like
this kind of parallel, you know, input stuff to you know, they used to think that sending data, it was more efficient to send it parallel. Well, in some ways it was, because in those days the processors were very slow. And so when you got a whole bunch of data in parallel, you didn't have to convert it in, you know, you could read it all at once, right?
Yeah.
You know, you read 8 bits at once. But what's happened is processors got faster and faster. Then you started to send really fast signals over this thing.
And they would jump.
And they would couple between one line and the other, right?
That's not good.
And you had all kinds of, you know, other things like that, that came from transmission line effects. So now, pretty much, everything is serial. And then in the processor, you convert it back to parallel, you know, because you can send things much faster serial. So anyway, but, you know, they did used to use this RG58, a 50-ohm cable for networking. And then, so I've used some of this, but then there's also, I use, like, I put out 1,000 watts sometimes, and then there's some fatter cable that is actually better for high power and a little less loss than this stuff that I also use. But it's, I use 50-ohm cable. But if I had a bunch of cheap 75-ohm cable, I might use that too, but I ended up, you know, collecting a lot of 50-ohm cable, so I use that. Okay, so that's what happens with a coaxial cable on there. Now, this is a 50-ohm coaxial cable. So let's look at something like, let's take this capacitor here. What do you expect this capacitor to do before I stick it on there? You know, we're sweeping here. Where is it going to start? Where is it going to end? And what's it going to look like on there? This is a 0.1 capacitor, 0.1, I think. I didn't really look at it. Maybe you guys with better eyes could read that. It say 104 or something, or 103?
102.
102, yeah, that's a 0.1. Yeah. So this is 0.1 microfarad. Like, you know, you use it for bypass,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what do you expect it to look like here? You know, going from 1 to 100 megahertz.
It's going to start at low frequency.
It might even start in here, it'll probably have some loss.
In here, so you expect it at 1 megahertz,
right,
it's going to be it's going to be like an open circuit, right? So you say it's going to be like an open circuit. And then as frequency increases, what's going
to
happen?
It should make its way to it, sure.
So it should head over toward here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here we go.
That was during procedure.
Okay, so what's happening here?
Well, it is a short, and then at higher frequencies, it's not a short.
It almost makes its way back towards.
Okay, so why does it start down here?
Because you're not starting at zero.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it has some capacitance. That's our goal.
Okay, so let's find this marker here. Here's this marker right here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can move the marker. Come on.
Oh, that's
okay, great. So you can see this is at 45 megahertz up here, you know, and now as it goes down here, there it is at 1 megahertz. And the reason it's down there is because there's a little transmission line going to the capacitor. You see that?
Oh,
there's two wires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The lead, right? And so then as you go up, and it's a short circuit right here, and then as you go further, it becomes an inductor. Where's the inductor? Well, it's measuring from right here.
Okay.
So it's those two wires are the inductor and the capacitors are short, right?
Really?
Those two wires are having a bigger effect up here at 100 megahertz than the capacitors. The capacitor at 100 megahertz is a short. But these two wires at 100 megahertz, they're starting, the inductance is starting to kick in, right?
What if we bent them and moved them further apart while it's connected and just watched it?
Okay, so if I move them close, okay. It's changing the Z0 a little bit. It makes it, you know,
smaller.
Brings it a little bit, you know.
So
there's less inductance when I put them together, right? If I make more inductance, oops, I got to keep that one in the middle there. Let's just make this. Well, that's probably me. I'm wiggling it.
Okay.
More because it's a bigger loop.
Yeah, a bigger loop, right? You know, more flux going through there, right?
Uh-huh.
So, okay, so there's a capacitor for you. That's just one of your little capacitors. Let's, we could try this one right here. I don't know what this one is. It's a 0.5 or something. This one has shorter leads. So it does the same thing. Notice it starts, it's a bigger capacitance, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it starts over here, it has shorter leads, so it doesn't go up so far.
So we like this
one. Yeah, right. So this is better, right? Yeah. Okay, here's a little inductor.
I think it'll go.
Yeah, it should be kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah. Oh, are you okay?
Whoa.
That's cool.
Hello.
Okay. Okay, so
that's
now,
so cool.
So it starts out right here. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what are we at? We're at 100 megahertz. So that's at 100 megahertz. So this is at 1 megahertz. So it starts out right here, kind of like a really hard, large impedance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right there at that frequency, this thing would be like open circuit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the there's a little bit of capacitance between the windings and so on here, right?
Okay.
It's where this becomes a parallel resonant circuit.
Out.
Yeah, it makes the thing an open circuit. And then, you know, why does it go in like this?
Why is it going that direction? Because isn't that capacitive going that way versus inductive going the other way?
Okay, so it starts out here inductive, right? And as we move down here, it's getting bigger and bigger inductance, right? And then it starts into capacitance. Well, at that point, this inductor right here looks like an open circuit, right? And so now we're looking at these two wires right here, but like nothing in between here, right? Where there's a capacitance between these two wires, right?
So how come we're getting capacitance on those two wires and we're getting inductance on the other two wires?
Well, let's go look. It's kind of like this. It's a good question. So if you look at on the capacitor, here's the capacitor, right? Well, at high frequencies, this is a wire, right? So that looks like a little inductor, right?
Okay.
Right, here's the inductor, a little loop, right? Okay, now the inductor at high frequencies is open, right?
Oh, that's
right. So now it looks like a little capacitor.
Okay.
So inductors look like capacitors, and capacitors look like inductors if you don't watch it, right?
This is madness.
Yeah. And why does it go in like this? Why does it go in toward the middle? Well, yeah, that's correct. That's correct. But what is the loss coming from?
And why does it come back out too?
Yeah. Why does it go in and spiral around? One hint for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, what's going to happen with a resonance? You know, here's an open circuit, right? As you go around, you know, the loop here, you know, whenever you have a full turn around the loop, that's kind of like you went from open circuit to short circuit back to open circuit.
Yeah.
And that's actually what happens when you have a... Well, you're sweeping the frequency. That's what's taking you around, right? So you went from a parallel resonance kind of a thing to a series resonance back to another parallel resonance, right? And so what's really happening on this thing is actually two things. The reason it goes in is because, you know, we're getting down here to 100 megahertz, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a little wire coming out here, right? And this is also another little wire coming out there, right? And I've kind of got them, I haven't got them squished. If I squished them, you know, if I made this thing more like this, then you won't see that so much. Let me try to get this in the middle here. Got to get it connected. This is.
Hey, it's further away. Oh, no, this isn't back right away.
Did it go as far in?
Closer to it's closer. Well, it looks more like an oval now.
Yeah.
It's a lot more even.
That's further.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, well, when I touch it, it gets more in, right? Why is that?
Because you're adding resistance?
No, I'm not any serious. I'm just I'm adding like a little bit of me on the, you know, on out here, right? I mean, I'm like kind of like I just added a wire on here. I could add another wire like this. Watch this.
Oh wow!
What did that do?
Interesting.
Had a seizure.
Hello.
Okay. So what's happening here? This is another thing that you actually, you know, you went from circuits to transmission lines, right?
Yeah.
But now this is one step further beyond that. Another thing that you haven't really learned about, you know, mathematically at least. I mean, I think you have experience with this in just everyday, world kind of stuff. But what would be causing this to go in? It's actually a loss, you know. Austin is right. It's a loss. Energy is leaving this thing and not coming back, right? I mean, when it's in toward the middle, that means things, whatever we sent out, didn't come back, right? And so either this thing is getting hot, which, you know, might be a little bit happening. There's probably a little of that. What's that?
The magnetic field's getting absorbed or something.
Yeah.
Well.
Or is it an antenna?
Yes, it's an antenna. That's what we were doing. We plugged this on. It's an even better antenna, right? And actually, each little loop you see there is like the little loops are. This antenna is actually at 100 megahertz. This antenna is kind of like more than it's got several different resonances. In other words, at a lower frequency, you know, it resonates with the whole thing, and at a higher frequency, it's resonating. You know, again, it'd be like there's three nodes on here. You know, there's a wave that goes out and comes back, and it goes, you know.
That's pretty cool.
On the end of the antenna, the current has to go to zero, right? So it's a kind of a boundary value problem there. So that's, that's radiation. Radiation is causing this mostly. Now, radiation is also an issue in your circuit, right? That means that if this thing will transmit, he will also receive. If he's transmitting, there can be another one of these guys somewhere in your circuit that can receive, right?
That's not good.
Not good. No, not good. Yeah. Okay. So let's look at some resistors. I've got a couple resistors here. Man, I gotta look at this thing. What color is this? Well, this is like red, black, black. I think so. Red is 2, black is 0, and so this would be 20 ohms. I think. Let's check and see if it is. Red, black, black. So here it is, right here. Starts out at 1 megahertz, it's right there, which would be, let's see, 20 ohms is like, you know, about half of 50 or something, a little less than half of 40% of 50, right? So this is probably 20 ohms right here, right?
So then it looks like...
And you can actually, if you want to, you can put a measurement thing on here and actually ask for impedance.
So why does it start out exactly at resistance, it looks like? Shouldn't
almost.
It be a little bit above?
It is.
Maybe just a tiny bit.
You just if you get closer, you can see.
It's a tiny bit above. Because as frequency goes up, why does it go up like this?
Inductiveness.
Yeah, it's actually following one of these circles around here. So there's inductance, resistance, and inductance. So the resistance would be anything on this circle right here would be 20 ohms. I mean, well, let's see.
Wow,
no, I'm sorry. Anything.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. Yeah, this is. These are circles of constant resistance, right?
And so as I go around here, the inductance is adding an inductance heading toward infinity ohms over here. So that's just, you know, series inductance. Okay, so here's a 200 ohm one. Where is that going to be on this thing?
200 ohms.
Yes, this is red, black, brown. Yeah, it should be the opposite side, kind of over here somewhere. Because 200 ohms is like 4 times 50, so it should be about 4. Yeah. Now this thing, as it's going up, right, it's going up and it's going around just like that one was.
Was it?
Yeah, see, this one is at 100 megahertz, right? Are you hearing something?
Yeah, this thing is like...
Looks like it's curving to the left.
Yeah, it does. Well, actually, what happens, what's going to happen? Let's get a bigger resistor, a much bigger resistor, and you'll see it curve around to the left. You found a 1 kilo ohm? It would probably work if you get a 1 kilo ohm. Yeah, we don't want totally big, but what do you got, 1 kilo ohm?
That one makes it like the left rolling outside.
I think
it's
so.
1K.
Okay, so we'll put a 1K.
Look at the colors.
This one doesn't have a very long lead on it.
Yeah.
Let's go get one with a long lead. Because it's those leads that are what's doing it, right? Okay, I got a 1.2 kilo ohm here.
What is this?
That's a filter. Okay, so here's a 1 kilo ohm. Notice it's actually heading around like this.
Oh.
Now why is that?
Well, okay, so
he's the same
this one.
Well, this thing is 1 kilo ohm is getting, it's bigger, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like more like the inductor. It's kind of more like an open circuit here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these things are acting kind of like capacitors, right?
Which things?
These two leads here.
Shouldn't they be acting like
inductors?
Shouldn't it be an inductor because it's not going to be open?
Well, what if I take the limb and I take this 1K as it goes get bigger and bigger, right? See, right in the middle here, that would be 50 ohms, right?
Yeah.
But as this guy is getting bigger, it ends up going more like this because it's a capacitor would go this way, right?
Yeah.
And inductors
so
follow these lines.
It's more like a
It's more like a capacitor because this thing is bigger resistance. You know, it's like a leaky capacitor, a poor dielectric capacitor here.
Okay.
It's a lossy capacitor.
Okay.
As opposed to, like, you know, that 200 ohms or whatever, which was going like this.
So
right?
If it wasn't lossy, it'd start curving the other way towards...
Well, if I had a small resistance, right, like this one right here, you know, it's a small one, right? Was this the small one?
The inductance one.
Yeah, right. It goes like this, right?
So basically
because this resistor is smaller than the impedance of, you know, this inductor here. You know, it's kind of this looks like an inductor here, and this is kind of like a short here, right?
Does it have to do anything with the resistance compared to 50?
Yeah, right. Resistance compared to 50. If I found a 50 ohm, let's find a 50 ohm with a long wires on it. So here's a 50 ohm. Mm-hmm.
So it goes.
It's not following this line exactly. It's kind of going almost straight up or something, right? It's because this is a higher resistance than the 20. You know, the 20 was kind of following along. If I had a 0 ohm, it would follow along like that, right? I mean, maybe I should. If I had just a wire, or is there a box of wire or something? Here? Yeah, we could steal one of these. It's just a little wire. This isn't very long. But here, it's about the same length as what we had, right?
Yeah, an inductor.
Yeah, so that just goes just perfect, right? It starts here, you know, short circuit, right? At 1 megahertz, it looks like a short circuit. At 100 megahertz, it looks like an inductance of this notch, right?
And then if we got a precision, we can turn into perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah, I mean, we could just do like this.
What about this?
All you got to do is just unconnect one side, right? Like that, there's a capacitor. Right? Starts open circuit here and moves out. Okay. I'm going to try an electrolytic since you brought one of these guys. You going to try a speaker?
Resistor, right?
That would make weird noises.
So here's an electrolytic, but look at the electrolytic, you know. The inductance of the leads is just way outshadowing, you know. It starts out here at a short, right?
Yeah.
Actually, it's a little bit of inductance even at 1 megahertz, right? So, hey, you want to try the speaker?
So,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Sure, go try it.
Does the speaker make noises? Because
we're going at 1 megahertz. You probably can't hear it.
True.
I mean, it might make a little bit of noise because of some subharmonic or something. I don't think this is
bleeding.
This is not putting out that much power. Okay, so there it is.
That's cool.
Woo! That's interesting.
No, no.
So does that mean it's transmitting?
Oh, whoa.
yeah, it's transmitting.
Now, is that loss coming from the transmitted sound or the transmitted magnetic?
This is a radio wave because it's, you know, going between 1 and 100 megahertz, and you could find out where it's really acting as like a 50 ohm antenna is right about there, whatever frequency that is.
That's pretty cool.
Why are there two leads going into there? So like the positive goes in here and the other one goes
right
in here.
And
what's the and it goes like around here?
Yeah, I think it actually goes to the coil back there. They've got to make the coil. There's a coil of wire that's suspended in a big electromagnet or a big regular magnet, right?
Yeah, right.
So when you put current through that coil, it's supposed to move back up and down, and that coil needs to be attached to the paper, right? If the coil is attached to the paper, then it moves it up and down, right? So I think that's the attachment to the paper, but I don't know because I haven't built one of those things really, but I think that's what's going on. Okay, so let's see. We've looked at that. Let's look at a piece of transmission line here. Just do a little bit of algebra and see. What I'd like to do is measure the characteristic impedance of this transmission line. I don't remember how this. I was doing something for Eric Wilson on his senior project or something.
Is he done?
Oh, he hasn't presented yet. He's working on things. So he's always coming up with other things to try, you know. He's the guy last year, or was it last year or year before? I can't remember. When we were doing radios, he had his radio done about halfway through the quarter, right?
Oh,
and his radio project was, you know, pretty difficult project, you know. And he had built like about, you know, 3 iterations by the time the quarter was done, and then, you know, Mark and all the other guys kind of caught up and built something, got something going right at the end.
Who was this guy?
Oh, Eric, you know, the guy.
Yeah,
Eric Wilson, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was really excited about the radio. The other guys, oh, it was just another homework assignment, right? Anyway. So let's look at Z of Z. Z of Z is equal to Z0 times 1 plus gamma e to the J2 beta Z over 1 minus gamma e to the minus J2 beta Z. Okay? Now gamma was equal to ZL minus Z0 over ZL plus Z0. And so if I want to measure Z0,
how do I measure Z0 just using this network analyzer? How could I do that if I have, you know, like there's a transmission line? How do I figure out what the Z0 is?
Of a line?
Of a line, yeah. So maybe it's, I mean, if it was 50 ohms like the analyzer was set up for, if I just,
you can connect.
If I put a 50 ohm resistor on the end and put it on there, then maybe I'd see there would be no reflection, right?
Well, you can take one and then connect it to the other.
What if it's a different Z0 then?
Well, if you take the line, connect one end to the positive and the other end to the negative of the analyzer.
Well, one way you can do it, there's probably a number of ways you can do it, but one way you could do it is we could say gamma short circuit is equal to, that would be where ZL is infinity. You know, it's infinity minus Z0 over infinity plus Z0, which is equal to 1, right? And gamma, that's open circuit, I'm sorry. Gamma short circuit would be ZL is 0, right? So 0 minus Z0 over 0 plus Z0. And so that'll be minus 1, right? So if we took Z short circuit, will equal, it'll be Z0 times 1 minus gamma. Or 1, gamma's 1. 1 minus e to the j 2 beta z. Over 1 plus e to the j 2 beta z, right? And z open circuit will be z0 times 1, and then that's just going to be a 1 there, right? So it's 1 plus e to the j 2 beta z over 1 minus e to the j 2 beta z. This needs a negative. These are both plus. this shouldn't have been a negative there. So if you look at this guy times that guy, Z short circuit times Z open circuit should be equal to Z0 squared, right? So if we use the analyzer to measure Z short circuit and the analyzer to measure Z open circuit, and then we took our calculator and took the square root of that number multiplied together, right? We should get, so this gives you Z0 equals the square root of Z short circuit, Z open circuit. Open circuit. So let's go see if we can measure a piece of coaxial cable and get an idea. We're way out of time. Okay, we'll come back and fiddle with this some more next day. Yeah, so anyway, there's all these fun things to do. Yeah, I better go grab my computer. I'll probably get locked in some classroom, some lecture going on.